For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured. And today, we mark the swearing-in of the first woman in American history elected to national office, Vice President Kamala Harris. Don't tell me things can't change. And here we stand, just days after a riotous mob thought they could use violence to silence the will of the people, to stop the work of our democracy, to drive us from this sacred ground. It did not happen. It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever, not ever. We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue. We're entering what may be the toughest and deadliest period of the virus. We must set aside politics and finally face this pandemic as one nation.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. It's time for Fight the Empire.
Good morning. This is January 21st, 2021, and you are listening to Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fogring. Well, we have a new president, although he's been around a long time. Joe Biden was first elected to the U.S. Senate way back in 1972 at the age of 29. He's always been a centrist Democrat, and now he's president. And one can wonder, where will he go from here? So I'm asking listeners out there, what do you expect or what do you hope for from President Joe Biden? Number to call is 503-231-8187. And don't wait till the end. Last week somebody had a good call, but it was near the end of the show, and so we couldn't get it all in. We couldn't really talk much about it. So What do you expect from Joe Biden? What are you hoping for? 503-231-8187. Well, as we heard on the from some of the recordings from last show, President Joe Biden is president for all Americans, and he will fight for all. And I have to say that after 4 years of Donald Trump's childish theatrics, it's a lot easier to look good in comparison. I would say President Trump's 4 years have been really pretty horrible, but Joe Biden is starting. He's starting by reversing some of Trump's dumb moves, and I believe he made something like 17 executive actions on his first day in office, and one of them was a 100-day masking challenge, challenging Americans to wear their masks for 100 days. That's about 3 months, and hopefully I guess the hope is that that will get us over the hump of this virus that's sweeping the world. President Biden is also returning America to the World Health Organization, which, if you remember, President Trump took us out of the World Health Organization. And President Biden has appointed Dr. Anthony Fauci to head the U.S. delegation to the World Health Organization. President Biden is also putting America back in the Paris Climate Agreement. For the last 4 years, the U.S. was the only country in the world that was not part of this climate agreement. Another big thing that President Biden has done is canceling the Keystone XL pipeline. This is a pipeline that is bringing Canadian oil to the United States. I believe this oil eventually is supposed to go all the way down to New Orleans, where it gets shipped out on tankers. And this is just the craziest scheme of all. We should be getting off oil, not shipping Canadian tar sands oil around the world. This Canadian tar sands oil is really like toxic sludge. Another thing that President Biden is doing is that non-citizens will be included in the census. And this is important because it has to do with how much representation countries and states get in the U.S. Congress. This is based on census figures. President Biden has also ended Donald Trump's ban on Muslims, people from Muslim countries entering the United States. And he is also halting the construction on Trump's Mexican border wall. Another thing is that he has put together a COVID response team, getting the pandemic under control. Piece of work right now is getting this pandemic under control. And so he's put together a team to do that. So we have four crises that are facing President Biden, which he is saying he will deal with: the coronavirus, economic devastation, climate chaos, and racial strife. And these are all, if anybody's been following the news lately, these are really very much with us. The coronavirus has spread around the world. Economic devastation has been spreading everywhere. We have a kind of an economy where some people are doing very, very well, and billionaires living lavishly, while other people are living on the streets in tents. We see the climate is getting worse, and we see that racial strife is getting worse. Mainly, it seems to me that the problem is we have all around the country, we have police forces that are really out of control, and you have to wonder how did the police get this way? What is going on here with our police? We see this happening over and over again, where black people have been shot to death by trigger-happy cops. You wonder how are these police officers selected? Somebody gives them a uniform and puts a badge on them and gives them a gun. How is that done? What kind of training do these people get? You really have to wonder. I remember watching this as several years ago now, where I believe his name is Philando Castile, was shot in his own car. He was driving his fiancée was in the back seat with her child, and Castile was in the front seat. He was driving the car. He got pulled over by a cop, and there was a video of a cop pointing a gun through the window, ordering Castile to put his hands on the dashboard or on the steering wheel, which he did. He was being very calm. The thing that struck me was this cop was being so agitated. He sounded so agitated. He sounded like he was just sort of trembling with fear and trying to disguise it with barking orders at Castile, and he wound up shooting the man. How was this cop selected? How was he trained? So those are the four crises that that Joe Biden is dealing with as president: this COVID virus, economic devastation, climate chaos, and racial strife. And one thing to keep that kind of leaps out at me is that these all have to be dealt with at home. These are crises at home. They cannot be resolved by sending troops abroad. And so it just seems so obvious to me, and hopefully to everybody else, that the last thing America needs is more war. We've been at war now as long as I can remember. We don't need an inflated military budget. I believe the military budget right now is something like $750 billion. And that's just sort of the beginning, because there are kinds of add-ons and extra items that are sort of squirreled away in other budgets. And so you might say that the budget for war, preparing for war, is by now it could be approaching $1 trillion a year. This is really amazing when you think about it. With all the problems at home, the U.S. is spending approaching $1 trillion a year on military engagements abroad. We have something like 800 military bases around the world. What if we had 800 peace bases at home around our nation? We could have all the a military base is something like a little village. It has housing, it has stores, it has a PX, it has all the things that that a small town has. And what if we had 800 of those around the country for people who have lost hope, who are struggling to stay afloat in a sinking economy? We could model them on Dignity Village. Dignity Village has been a proven success. It's been around now. The original one, I believe, is out near the airport. And it's it started out to be a kind of a homeless a tent village. It is a more permanent village now, with little buildings and homes and a community center for people. And they run it themselves. They have their own way of running their affairs. And this has been duplicated. For a while, I believe there was a temporary village on 4th and Burnside, and the owner of that property wanted to do something else with it, and so this village was moved across the river, I believe, to southeast Portland. So we have the model. It is being done. It can be done some more. It can be replicated. And so what if we had 800 instead of 800 military bases around the world, what if we had 800 dignity villages around the nation, giving hope to people who are losing hope or struggling to stay afloat in the sinking economy? If you'd like to weigh in on this, give us a call, 503-231-8187.
We have two callers.
We have two callers. Well, let's take the first, number one.
Tony.
Tony.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. just a couple of thoughts. I do appreciate some of the progressive things that happened yesterday with the executive order, but we got to really watch what's going on in the background. One thing I would like to see is Biden remove the sanctions from Venezuela.
And
Iran. And I heard this morning that the new Secretary of State, what's his name, Blinken or something?
Blinken, right.
Yeah, he's actually supporting the sanctions and the insurgent government, or the, you know, the quasi-government that's trying to take over Venezuela.
Right.
So I think we need to put pressure on that. Mm-hmm. So that's really all I have to say.
Well, I agree. I think that's a very good point. Whether President Biden will do anything about that, I really don't know. I haven't seen any indications. Biden is not—he's certainly not a peacenik Democrat. He's been always a so-called moderate. He's been voted for all the military budgets himself. So this is a concern. But thank you for your call. And I believe we have another caller on the line.
Hello?
Hello, are you on there?
Hi, this is Harry, and thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm hoping for with Biden is, first of all, people have been calling for pardoning Trump and the insurrection, and hopefully they go through and make sure they prosecute all the insurrections. Insurrectionists, you know. I didn't realize the damage they did to the Capitol building. They were saying that the National Guard had to clean the Capitol building because on the outside they had urinated and spread feces all over the Capitol. And
yes,
this is the first time I heard about this, you know. And so these insurrectionists say hopefully he will prosecute all of them, because this is the same thing happened after the Civil War. They pardoned everybody instead of taking all the Jefferson Davis and that government and putting them in front of a firing squad. And same thing with all those statues they built of these Confederate people. If they put them all in front of a firing squad, we wouldn't have had the, you know, Jim Crow and the racism that we have today. Now, if they do not prosecute these people, they're going to think that, oh, it's okay, and they will continue to do such things. And hopefully that's one thing. Next is when you mentioned Venezuela. And for the last 3 or 4 years, what I'm worried about Biden doing something is because, remember, it was Obama that put the sanctions on Venezuela. It would look bad for him to take them off, even though he should. When they said that the 40,000 Venezuelans who have diabetes die every year because they don't get insulin, they were showing Venezuelan children in the hospital dealing with malnutrition. Now, here's our government telling this government, do what we say or we will kill your people. We will kill your babies. We will kill your elderly. We'll do this, but you have to do what we say. And I feel that's kind of wrong, even though their government, what the president did was he did was change the Constitution legally. Before they had a term limits, now they don't. Well, China did the same thing. We didn't do anything to China. Russia did the same. Putin, well, they changed that. And there was a few countries around the world that did that, that changed, you know, that. But for Venezuela, oh, no, you can't do that. And look, all the people had to leave Venezuela because they couldn't eat, you know. It's horrible. And so hopefully you'll be able to do something about that, and especially in Iran. I mean, that has to be fixed immediately. Okay, we have to end. We'll end the sanctions. We'll get back on, and then we'll say, within 2 years, hand over that the nuclear stuff that you have. But don't force them right now. Just hey, let them do it themselves, and they probably will.
Well, those are really good points. I'm glad you brought those up. I think our record on Venezuela has been horrible, going back years and years and years, and we think. You know, for a long time, we have gotten away with it until Venezuelans elected Hugo Chavez to be their president, and he passed away, and now Nicolas Maduro is the elected president of Venezuela, although our government seems to recognize this fellow Juan Guaido, who is I would call him a pretender. But he's the one we recognize. And so, you know, the U.S. is continuing this treatment of a country we think we can pick on.
Yeah, and there's of course, we have the military and everything to do, but just to force all these South American countries, I mean, because we're North and Anglo, treated these Hispanic countries. You know, in the South, it was just terrible. And one thing about what did Cesar Chavez do that we hated so much? They won't bring him. He nationalized the oil company.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. That's what we didn't like. And we're showing all the world this is what happens if you nationalize your oil companies.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Oh. Well, thank you for bringing up those points. Yeah, I think the history of our dealings with Latin America, you know, goes back to the Monroe Doctrine that goes back to the early 1800s under President Monroe, and it warned Europe to keep your hands off of Latin America, because Latin America is our area of influence. It is our area to deal with. And well, we've been trying to run things in Latin America ever since. For a long time, we were successful at it, but it's not happening. Probably the biggest, one of the biggest rebellions was the Cuban Revolution back in 1959, and the U.S. has tried everything possible to. Get rid of the Cuban Revolutionary Government. I don't know how many different plans have been made to assassinate Fidel Castro, and this is continuing, but it is not working. And Latin America is going its own way, no matter what we do about it. So, if you have any more any listeners want to talk more about this, the number to call is 503-231-8187. Getting back to President Biden, you know, he has a kind of a mixed record on war and peace. He opposed the 1991 Gulf War. That was the one that was done by the first President Bush. Biden voted for the Iraq War of 2002, although later on he called it a mistake. In 2007, there was a troop surge in Iraq, and Biden opposed that, but he has supported expanding NATO, and he supported all these wars going on in the Balkans, in the former Yugoslavia. And Biden has supported those. Now he has the Secretary of State is man named Anthony Blinken. The number three person that's at the State Department is Victoria Nuland. She is the Undersecretary for Political Affairs. And I don't know if you remember her. She was a lady who, in during the Ukrainian business, she was out there in the streets of Kiev passing out cookies to the to these rioters in the streets. And her husband is a his name escapes you right now, but he's one of the one of these neocon rioters, and sort of one of these warmongers who is very close to the seats of power. Another person that President Biden has put, has elevated, is Samantha Power, and she's the head of USAID. And this is a, it's been called a kind of a civilian version of the CIA. What it does, it hands out, it sponsors projects, so-called aid projects around the world. And it sort of civilianizes a lot of the things that the CIA used to do kind of undercover. And so Samantha Power is the head of USAID, and she has been a sort of a person. She started out to be a journalist, I believe, in Ireland, and she wrote about the war in Rwanda, civil war there, which sometime we might take a look at the war in Rwanda, the so-called genocide. But Samantha Power wrote about that, and that she is now in the seats of in the government, and she has always been a sort of a pro-intervention person in Syria and in the Balkans. The caller mentioned the I don't know how many people have seen the insurrection in the Capitol building in Washington. It was really, these people smashed their way into the Capitol. Some of them were armed, and they roamed around. They trashed various offices. They had a lot of elected officials and their staffs kind of hiding, running for cover, hiding behind locked doors. And as the caller mentioned, they defecated on the floors in our U.S. Capitol building. Now, who were these people? They apparently seem to be supporters of Donald Trump, and they you have to wonder, what did they where were they going with this? Was this just some kind of was this sort of staged as some kind of a horrible protest, or do they really think they were going to take over the Capitol building and somehow start a rebellion and change the government? You want to have to wonder what was on their mind. What they did was very damaging. It was really atrocious. And from what I hear, the government has a lot of this is on, it's on tape. We know who these people are, and they will, we can expect to see them prosecuted, which I certainly hope they will be. So we will story is not over. Maybe just beginning when we find out more about who these people were, and they go on trial. It's very interesting that Hillary Clinton, I remember her. Anyway, she had, I guess she has some kind of a podcast or something, but she was talking to Nancy Pelosi, and according to Hillary Clinton, the Russians were quote, pulling the strings on these Capitol rioters. And to me, this is sort of a, really a loony talk about conspiracy theories. Basically, Hillary Clinton is saying that that Vladimir Putin is sort of getting these Trump supporters to riot in Washington and do all the damage they did. Well, I think that's pretty far-fetched. It's a talk about conspiracy theories. I think these Trump people are perfectly crazy enough to do something like this on their own. We saw what they did on tape. If you have anything to say about that, give us a call, 503-231-8187. Do you think Putin was pulling the strings on these people, or do you think they were just crazy enough on their own? You know, we talked about the military budget briefly. You know, that it's every year we spend up to $1 trillion on war and preparing for war. And this is money we could be spending at home. You know, the need at home is so great. It is so clear to anybody who has open eyes that there is a lot that needs fixing right here in this country, rich as it is. We have people living in horrible poverty, living on the streets, and not getting the help that they need. And so, like I said, what if we had 800 dignity villages, peace spaces around the country, where these people could be given a chance to rebuild their lives and do it with plan their own economic salvation. These people are not stupid; they're just being ignored and being left out of our economic system. But anyway, has anyone been down?